Once upon a time, on a distant planet in a faraway galaxy, there was a TV show called Family Feud. Each family was asked to come up with the same responses to questions as a number of people who had been polled on the program. The host would reveal how the contestants' answers stacked up against those who had done the poll. And he would say it with the words, "Survey says." Well, if one of those questions had been, "What are the things that make up a good life?" we could have expected the survey to have included such items as big houses, fame, fortune, and my favorite, fast cars. We would have been shocked if the survey had included taking up your cross and following Jesus. And yet, that is exactly what God asks us to do and promises us that this will bring us to happiness and glory. All too often, we neglect St. Paul's teaching from the second reading, "Do not conform yourselves to this age." And we conveniently forget that following the gospel ought to take us against the grain of our culture. And we become convinced that our plans for God in our lives are the same as God's plans for us and for the kingdom. In our readings today, we see how Jeremiah and Peter are brought to a realization that they were thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. For Jeremiah, the first 6 years of his preaching were exciting as success built upon success. His hopes were high and the future seemed bright. He was on his way and God was with him. Surely his achievements proved that. He felt certain that he knew God and how God wanted things to go. And then came the hard times. The second part of Jeremiah's career as a prophet was, as one author says, a long trek across the dreary plateaus of failure. His life fell apart. He was banned from his hometown, scorned by his relatives, betrayed by his friends, and humiliated in public. Little wonder that Jeremiah begins to complain bitterly. Our translation today tones him down a bit. Instead of, "You duped me," a more accurate translation would be, "You seduced me," like an innocent girl taken in by a malicious man. Apparently, God prefers the complaints of Jeremiah to the rebukes of Peter, who tried to head off talk of suffering. Nothing happens to Jeremiah, but Peter gets severely scolded. Today's gospel passage follows on from last Sunday's declaration by Peter that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter liked the thought of Jesus as the Christ, the anointed one sent by God to bring about the kingdom. What Peter couldn't handle was the bit where Jesus started talking about suffering and dying. He and the other disciples thought they were following a winner, someone who would be successful. They seemed to have assumed that their own sacrifices in leaving home to follow Jesus would lead to a great reward, that they'd get to share in his honor and glory. Peter, as their spokesman and now as their leader, takes Jesus aside to tell him he must be wrong about what will happen, that his mission will succeed and not end in death. In perhaps his strongest language ever, Jesus tells Peter how he's acting. "Get behind me, Satan." Peter is still the rock, but he's now acting as a stumbling stone rather than as a solid foundation. Like Satan, the enemy Jesus faced in the desert, Peter is trying to divert him from following the Father's will. Peter is thinking only in worldly terms and not as God thinks. So Jesus now turns to his disciples and takes them to the very core of Christian discipleship. Following Jesus means laboring with him and for him, abandoning greedy self-interest, and giving of oneself to others as completely as he does. like Jeremiah, like Peter. We don't like to think too much about giving up reliance on power and glory and worldly success. Self-denial is not our idea of a good time. And if you're like me, the idea of taking up a cross is especially unappealing. But before we reject Jesus' invitation, let's try and get a few things straight. The saying about carrying the cross is often misunderstood. It does not mean that suffering is something good in itself, that we have to bear bravely with our illnesses and misfortunes as something given to us by God to test our faith. The idea behind that is a God who somehow enjoys inflicting pain and who tests us to breaking point. I don't know about you, but this is not the God I know and love, the God who wants us to be fully alive and full of joy. It seems to me that in accepting Jesus' call to take up the cross, we simply recognize that suffering is going to be a common companion to living and loving the way Jesus does. For our selfishness often interferes with our desire to lead good and holy lives. I have always taken consolation from a sentence I read more than 30 years ago, which says, "The disciples of Jesus need never seek the cross. It comes to them from every side, and in part they are their own crosses." It makes sense to me that I am in part my own cross. It helps me to understand and deal with the endlessly stupid, selfish, and sometimes downright wicked things that I do. When all is said and done, in the end, it comes down to a matter of trust. Do I believe that the good life is about a frenzy for wealth and as much power and prestige as I can accumulate? That dying with the most toys makes me a winner? Or do I follow Jesus, who cannot love us without wanting us to be full of joy? Do I follow Jesus, who surrenders his life to show us how to save ours, who transforms our vision to give us eternal life as our central focus and desire? Survey says it's foolish to deny ourselves pleasure and prosperity. But who wants to live by survey results? Look where that's gotten our politicians. And so hesitantly and somewhat anxiously, knowing at best we'll take two steps forward and one step back, we ask Jesus how we can best lose our lives with him. What are the crosses we must take up? How are we invited to love with more and more of ourselves? Let us pray that the answers to those questions will, in the words of our second reading, renew our minds so that we might discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. Please stand to join me in the Nicene Creed, which you will find on the inside cover of your blue hymnal.